Lord, we ask that you open our hearts to receive, open our ears to hear what you have for us to receive here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have you turn to Genesis 24. We're not going to turn all over the place today. But you can find Genesis 24, first book of the Bible, the 24th chapter. And there you find the story of a bride for Isaac. And you all know everything there is to know about this story. Right? Well, maybe. Okay. There's 67 verses here in this chapter. This story is often referenced here at Living Waters Tabernacle because it's a chapter that has much typical teaching about the bride of Christ, 24th chapter Genesis. This Old Testament story, you all can recite this in your sleep probably, has four main characters and then several characters, when they run the credits on the movie, will have a list of several more in the supporting role. And I hope you treasure this chapter. And of course, there's no way we can cover all the details in a few minutes in a Sunday's service on what's contained in these 67 verses. But as a quick refresher, because I don't know where you are, and I don't know where everybody is that's here and it's online with their knowledge of the 24th chapter of Genesis. In this chapter, Abraham represents God the Father, and Isaac represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is pictured by the eldest servant of Abraham. He has a name. It's Eliezer of Damascus. That name is found in Genesis 15, too. Eliezer of Damascus was sent on a far journey to take a wife from a far country out of Abraham's kinfolk. And then he was to bring her to Isaac. Genesis 24:7 explains this, as Abraham says to Eliezer, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house," somebody mentioned that earlier today, that journey he took from where he was in his father's house, lived there 75 years and was moved, and Abraham was. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me that thou swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He," that same Lord, "shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." Now, the last of the four main characters, of course, in this story of a bride for Isaac, and that would be Rebecca, the wife to be. And I want you to think about this for a minute. I want you to realize that all these characters, these four I just mentioned, were Old Testament worthies of faith. But they had no idea of their typical roles that they were playing here. They had no idea that we would still be remembering them some 4,000 years later. So the Lord has this for us, the story in the 24th chapter of Genesis. And these things that we read about here in Genesis 24, they really happened. They really happened for our learning. And I want you to sometimes study 1 Corinthians 10:11. There's a lot of things that happened, really happened. They happened for our learning. The thing is that Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah and Eliezer, they were just living in real time the script that had been written for them before the foundation of the earth, for our learning. And I give you another thought. How many Abrahams are found mentioned in Scripture? How many Isaacs? How many Eliezer of Damascus are mentioned in the one verse he's mentioned in? I gave you that answer. How many Rebekahs are found mentioned in the Bible? The answer to that, all these questions, is one. I get up here and I say, Scott, everybody knows who I'm talking about. If our pastor gets up here and says, Ty, everybody knows who he's talking about. If somebody says, Jesse, we all know who he's talking about. Right? One. Isaac had one wife. Her name was Rebekah. Jesus Christ will have one wife to rule and reign with him. And her name will be the Bride of Christ. And she will have the characteristics found mentioned of Rebekah in Genesis 24. So why do we say Genesis 24 so often? Because of that fact. Okay, you're there now. You've had plenty of time to get to Genesis 24, verse 10. Let's read. And the servant, that'd be Eliezer, he took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Eliezer took 10 camels with him on this journey. And these camels are referred to 18 times in Genesis 24. There's supporting cast, if you will. In more ways than one, now that I think about it. The camels were an ugly, unpleasant, but necessary piece of equipment in the taking of a wife for Isaac. The camels, these 10 camels, were the main necessary tool that made Eliezer's journey prosperous. The camels were the means of bringing many gifts to Rebekah. And in the end, the camels were the means of bringing Rebekah to Isaac. Without the camels, Rebekah will never be a bride to Isaac. And I was thinking about this just now. We pray. We have these prayers and we request prayer. And Lord, pray for my family, pray for this, pray for that. And something happens. Maybe one member of the family passes away like Ray Mountain. But haven't we been praying for our family? And events like this, the hard camel ride, that bring us to that place he wants us to be. And that, I can go on 1,000 examples of that. Think of our brother Ernie Tisdale, just went to be with the Lord. That last hard camel ride he took. He didn't complain. He encouraged us. The Lord's got this. Brother Ken Trillo, his last few months, you talked to him. It was on his last camel ride. And he wasn't depressed about what his condition was. He was uplifting anybody who talked to him. His sister's right over there, and she can verify this, and so can you if you talk to him. As he answers to his prayers. Again, in Genesis 24:10, all the goods of his master were in his hand. And that's really an awesome statement if you think about what that means. Spiritually speaking, we kind of just mentioned this, but everything that the bride of Christ needs to be ready to be the bride is given of God the Father unto the Holy Ghost to prepare her for that day when she shall marry Jesus. Stated another way, how did the bride of Christ make herself ready? By following the leading of the Holy Ghost in her life, for all the goods of his master were in his hand and carried on the backs of his camels for the express purpose of enriching her. What that means to us is that if we have received the power of the Holy Ghost as promised by Jesus in Acts 1:8 and have yielded to and followed the guidance of the Holy Ghost all the way in your life, then we too can be in that eternal company known as the Bride of Christ. I'll read to you some verses from John 16, but you can just camp there in John 16. I mean, Genesis 24. In John 16, 13 through 15, Jesus tells his disciples about the Holy Ghost. And he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That was John 16, 13. He's a guide, okay? He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Just like Eliezer's had full charge of everything that was Abraham's. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Back to Genesis 24, verse 11. The servant, Eliezer, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, late in the day, when even the time that women go out to draw water. I want you to see here that Eliezer had charge of these 10 camels. And though thirsty, they obeyed his command and kneeled down. And so where he made the camels kneel down is the subject of this morning's study. The setting is without the city, by a well. Think of it like this, without the camp. Going without the camp is a whole other thought. We don't have time to go in that today. We do, but you wouldn't get out of here very quick, so we won't go into it. But think about this. Had Rebecca not gone without the camp, without the limits of the city, she never would have been bride to Isaac. Eliezer was by a well of water. And this particular well is called the well. Don't laugh, that's what it's called. It's called the well. It's called that eight times. Eight, kind of a significant number, we'll get to it. There's another well mentioned later in the chapter, which we'll also talk about. So the well is an underlying focal point in the story for a bride for Isaac. Without going to the well, she never gets to be Isaac's wife. This well, called the well, eight times here in Genesis 24, doesn't have a name like some other famous wells of scripture. However, the well, here in the story of the bride of Isaac, it really does have a name. And many of you already know what the well's name is. The well in our story is figurative of the Word of God. Jesus is the well. He is the Word of God, according to Revelation 19:13. Here's your well. Okay. Now, the next few verses explain the importance of the well. And when the pastor asked me about 5 weeks ago to speak, the Lord gave me this subject, the well. It's for this morning. And so the well factors into how Rebekah became the bride of Isaac. Abraham's servant, while waiting at the well, prayed. And in Genesis 24:12, he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast anointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Abraham's servant, Eliezer, was requesting an extraordinary event or a series of events to happen this day in verse 12. In verse 13, we find Abraham's servant standing by the well. The Holy Ghost always stands by the well of the water of the Word of God. We read that in John 16. Go back and see it. In reality, Eliezer later in this chapter will guide Rebekah. He will be the guide that takes Rebekah to her Isaac. And as this applies to us, in reality, the agency of the Trinity that will guide us into all truth and glorifies our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and shows us things to come is the Holy Ghost. And it will take the leading and the guiding of the Holy Ghost to be in the bride of Christ. Eliezer was there at the well of water with his caravan of camels, patiently waiting to be properly received. Let that soak in for a second. He was waiting to be properly received. He wasn't going to barge into Rebekah's life. And also, I want you to note the word daughters in verse 13. Eliezer mentions the word daughters in his request to God. And then in verse 14, he nails down his request to just one daughter that he's looking for. The word daughters, you can look this up later, is number 01323 in the Hebrew Strong Concordance. And it's significant here in the fact that it's used 8 times in the 24th chapter of Genesis. If you study the chapter even closer, you'll also find that Rebekah is referred to as wife to Isaac 8 times in this chapter. And one of the meanings of the number 8, we've talked about several 8s here already, one of the meanings of the number 8 is bride, as in the bride of Christ, okay? So again, Rebekah is typical of the bride of Christ in this chapter. One of the meanings of this Hebrew word for daughters is the apple of the eye. Eliezer was asking God to narrow down the choice for a bride to Isaac to the apple of his eye. Think about that in your own life, what that means, why you're here, hearing this today. All the requests of Eliezer's prayer were answered down to the last detail in verses 15 through 19. And it came to pass while he was praying that Rebekah came down to the well with her pitcher, her empty vessel, to receive more living water to quench her thirst. To quench our thirsty soul, we too need to come to the well of the Word of God. And I read this to you earlier in Jeremiah 17, 13. We find that the Lord is the fountain of living waters. That's why we have this church called Living Waters Tabernacle. Rebecca had been down to the well hundreds of times in her life, but this time, when she came up from the well, Eliezer, who was looking for a wife for Isaac, met her. Now, of course, Rebecca didn't know this fact yet, but in type, this was the day she received the Holy Ghost. And it takes the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to reveal the deeper truth of the Word of God to us, and to reveal God's plan for us, and to reveal to us the bridal message, which is found in Paul's gospel. That was a mouthful that I said right there. And I hope you heard it, and hope it didn't go too fast. But you can listen to it later, because we have trouble hearing, as we learned in Scott's class. And in my class last Sunday, we all have trouble hearing. Our minds wander. What? Don't let it wander this morning. There was a series of tests Eliezer requested both of Abraham and of God to prove the correct damsel was chosen to be bride for Isaac. The word damsel is found five times in Genesis 24. Showing us grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Guess what? His joint heir wife will be too. She'll be just like him. Think about that as you choose some of the brethren out as you leave the building today. Wait a second. Did I say that? We got to be a little more like him. Ask the Lord to help us. And he'd ask Abraham in verse 5, Eliezer did, what if the woman will not be willing to follow me? And Abraham's answer boiled down to this. If she wouldn't be willing to follow, then Eliezer would be free from this oath. So the lesson for us is, if we can't follow our guide, the Holy Ghost, then how could we ever know all the truth? How could we ever be found in that small rib portion company known as the Bride of Christ? So Eliezer asked the Lord God of his master Abraham in verse 14, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Rebecca passed this test with flying colors. In Genesis 24:17, when Rebecca came down to the well, the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. Drink, my Lord. Drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. She acknowledged Abraham's servant as my Lord. And here we see Rebecca willingly serving. But in type, she was really serving the Lord. And in reality, she was serving a stranger. She saw the need of others, and putting aside her own needs, she took the time to help. And she had no alternative motives in mind, but rather she showed that she had compassion towards others, even towards a complete stranger. There's a statement made concerning the bride that's found in the Song of Solomon 4:15. And it says this, thou art a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Again, Jesus said in John 7:38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I'm going to read a quote from Sister Alice Mooneyhan, Rod Mooneyhan's grandmother, who taught at the Grace and Glory Bible College back in the 30s. And she, in her booklet, wrote, "The Holy Spirit becomes within as this abundant supply of living waters. In order to please Christ perfectly, we are always seeking the good of others," end of quote. And Rebecca here in Genesis 24 pictures the bride of Christ who displays this quality. Now look at Genesis 24:19. "And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." Amen. That's a lot of water. And verse 20, "And she hasted," she didn't lollygag, she hasted, "and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels." How many camels he have? 10. I found when I was researching this that just one camel can drink as much as 53 gallons of water in a day. With one camel. Multiply that times 10 camels, that's 530 gallons of water. And she might have ran and hasted at first, but did she run and hasted at the 500th gallon of water? Yes, she did. Okay? Imagine 10 ugly camels fighting for position to get a drink out of a watering trough. Hey, hurry up, we need some more water here, you know? So thus we can see why Rebecca ran to the well to draw water. And she did so repeatedly until the camels had done drinking. Truly, she was a race course runner. Little did she realize as she watered these camels that one day they would all be hers. In fact, reality is she'd already accepted them as hers. She might even give them names as she was watering them. I don't know. Yeah. Also, at this time, she had no idea that as she watered these camels, that they would be the very animals that carried her to her future husband, Isaac. Nor did she realize as she watered these camels that without them, she was never going to be a bride to Isaac. In fact, at this time, she had no idea even who Isaac was. We kind of jumped ahead in our story, didn't we? Rebecca didn't know that the camels figure the many trials along the full overcomer's pathway. Anybody had any trials lately? Why do we pray for these prayers? A lot of heavy trials. And the camels also speak of all the providences of the will of God that come to us, whether they are pleasant or unpleasant. And that, generally speaking, the camels emphasize the unpleasant providences of God. But we know that the camels are figuratively of the daily events and situations that come into our lives to bring us to the point of being a full overcomer. We all pray, I'd like to be a full overcomer. I'd like to be in the bride of Christ. By the way, I don't want any trials. That ain't the will of God. And that ain't how you're going to get there. Right? So, if we suffer with him, it says in 2 Timothy 2:12, we will reign with him. So we note that Rebecca acknowledged the camels in watering them. And as she watered them, she was accepting them into her life, even though at this time she didn't even know what she was doing, okay? The proposal began at the well. It, as is noted in Genesis 24, verses 22 and 23. Let's read those. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of imitation gold. No, of real gold, of gold. And then he said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" I thought about this. How valuable in today's market would these ornaments be? Well, let me answer it like this. How valuable is the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? No value, huh? Priceless, huh? The value of what Rebecca will receive at the well, of course, is priceless. Likewise, the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, value we receive from the well of the Word of God is priceless. Also priceless is the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7, and the riches of His glory and His endless enrichments in all things in Christ Jesus. You can't put a price on that. Reading the rest of the story here in Genesis 24, we find that Abraham's servant and the men that were with him were indeed given lodging that night at the house of Bethuel. That's her father, whose name means "point ye out God." What also means a man of God. It also means a dweller in God. And Bethuel was Rebekah's father. And Eliezer explained the purpose of this journey. And then we read in Genesis 24:49, as he said, "And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban, her brother, and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord hath spoken." And then jumping ahead to verse 56, we find Eliezer once again speaking, and he said unto them, "Hinder me not, saying, the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. So for Rebekah, this whole adventure of her lifetime began when she went to the well. Genesis 24:61. "And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." The word "took" here means to take a wife. Let this speak to all of us like this. The Holy Ghost was sent from God the Father, as Jesus said in John 14:16, and he was sent to be a guide unto us, to bring us into all the truth, as the Apostle Paul also taught us, to make us ready to be a joint heir wife unto Jesus Christ. Rebekah followed Eliezer all the way to another well. Genesis 24:62. "And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi," like Scott would say. I don't know how Scott would say that. And Lahairoi means unto the living one, sing me. I can practice these words until I'm blue in the face and can't still say them, okay? But you can read them. It means, unto the living one, sing me. The reality is the living one has been seeing his bride from before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4. We got to finish the story about a bride for Isaac. We do so in verse 63 and 64. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Isaac knew the mission of Eliezer, and Eliezer had revealed unto Rebekah all along this journey all he could of who Isaac was. And in verse 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Eliezer said, it is my master. But wasn't Abraham Eliezer's master? Well, look, cheat a little bit. Go ahead to Genesis 25, verse 5. We get our simplest answer. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So we find this phrase, my master, 19 times in the 24th chapter of Genesis. And we find this phrase, my master, 33 times total in Scripture. 19 is the number of faith, and 33 is the number of promise. Rebecca stepped out in faith and followed the leading of Eliezer with the promise that she would become bride to Isaac. Eliezer was Isaac's servant, and he was now Rebecca's servant. But he had been her servant ever since she called him my Lord at the well. You too came to the well this morning. You took a drink from the living water of the Word of God. And truly the well is indeed is deep. And it holds an endless supply of the water of life. And we find one drink from the well in Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's just one drink. There is a rib portion few from the body of Christ who, like Rebecca, come to the well to hear the proposal to be wife to Jesus. Will you go? Will you ride the camels, the ones he has sent for you? Will you follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit as he brings you to finish your course with joy? Will you be the wife who has made herself ready? Take in all you can from the well. It will be refreshing to your soul. The Word of God is the well. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the well. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the well. Thank you that we can come to the well. We can come to the well, and we can come again to the well, and that you have sent your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us to the heavenly bridegroom, our lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we know this. May those here this morning that heard this, either whether here or online or here again on a recording, enter into what's been said. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.